The thing is, Camille O'Sullivan is with me this morning. Camille, the thing is, I was here all the time.
Yeah.
So for me, nothing changed except the fact there was nobody else here.
Yeah.
What did you?
It was a big change, and I'm trying to hold on to it in a way, but basically out of work for the 2 years.
Yes.
And part of me kind of, as a performer, I mean, I felt terrible that the world was going through that. I was scared like everybody else, and the empathy that people were going through, such a terrible time. But personally myself, I probably had burnt myself out on the road, and maybe all the band were like, you know, the Pogues sitting on opposite sides of the room going, I can't do this anymore. So I started off good. I started exercising and everything, and then that went out the window, and started eating my head off and having drink wine and chocolate. And so not anything crazy, but you know, like the rest of them,
of course.
And
binging on Netflix, were you doing all that stuff?
Well, no, actually it wasn't. I went a bit onto murder mysteries, unfortunately, for the family, and you know, things like Morse, and I'm into that kind of stuff.
Oh, wonderful.
But I did learn crazy things like how to do yoga headstands and hula hooping and roller skates.
Well, the stage is your own. Off you go.
Well, not yet, but no. I will maybe skate in here one day for you. But I did those kind of things, and then I did for my daughter, because we were kind of stuck in the house, and she was like 6 or 7 at the time. I bought, like, I did the same as everybody else, bought crazy things online.
Yes.
But I bought like a rainbow tent and festoon lights, and I made a festival in the back garden.
Brilliant.
So she could do that. And then people were asking me to do songs, so I did some songs for charity, but I was a bit nervous, like online, I was a bit nervous of kind of doing the one where you just sat at the table and, you know, played your guitar. So Cork Midsummer had asked me to do one, and I said, oh, you know what, I want to do one where it's from you, the moment you get them in the morning to the moment you go to sleep at night. But I was kind of inspired by something I'd seen at Tom Waits. Now, his thing I'd seen was Big Time, where he's there standing in a bathtub with the umbrella on fire. So I didn't want to do that, but I did want to do something bonkers. So it starts off kind of with one song, kind of with sunglasses on, waking up, going through the house, then with curlers on, singing in another room, then down in the kitchen, hoovering, then doing indie shoes, climbing on the table. Now, I was a bit embarrassed. I said, there was very good moments of normalness and beautiful songs, but I wanted to kind of capture the my lockdown craziness, and it was great. So I learned how to video edit and stuff like that, and then we ended the last song, which is a beautiful song by Billy Joel called Lullaby, where it was like going out with this cape that lit up and sitting by the festoon tent.
Oh,
and it was just me and Aidan, and my daughter did my makeup, so it was a bit, you know, dodgy. The same dressing gown for 2 years, and I bring in that on stage now, like that's what's happening in the shows.
It probably brings itself on stage.
This is the first time. My daughter asked me this morning, why did you do your hair and makeup? You never do that. I said, well, first of all, I'm meeting Marty.
Oh, thank
And she
you.
Said, but you're on radio. And I said, but even so.
That's right, we dress for radio.
Well, no, but you do. I always love, because you dress really well in the little napkin thing.
Pocket square.
So things, the wheels have come off, and I don't fit my clothes anymore, and I wish I checked before going on stage.
But you look terrific. You look. But
that's because I trolled on the makeup this morning.
No,
right?
Listen, the thing about Camille O'Sullivan is, for me always, is you're such a performer, and you're to have that whisked away from you.
Yeah.
Some people would adapt to it easier, I expect.
Yeah.
But you are so immersed in performance, and to take all that away from you, and that joy. Thank God, by the way, you've got a load of things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
One of them is the Olympia in November.
So happy to be there again.
Oh, I bet you are.
One of my favourite, like, I can't believe we're playing there again.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I kind of pinch myself every time. Like, we're back on the 26th of November, and even when the date is booked in, I'm someone who, like, even my leg now feels like I get a bit nervous about it, but in the sense of extreme excitement, and even now more so, because I feel like it's a very, as you said, it's a very joyful thing. Like, I'm a nervous performer in a sense. When I hit the stage, it's grand, because you've got to kind of be a big tiger to come out. Like, I remember somebody saying in Kinsale before backstage, going, Jesus, you're like a mouse running around, then you're like this big tiger when you come on stage. And that's what I feel like. Or the band always joked, they said, you're like a horse coming out of the stalls, like,
but once you're on,
you're in it. And it's like two different people. Like, I always laugh when I hear Beyonce going about Sasha Fierce, because you do, it is you, but it's just, I suppose the thing, it's many things, to be present as a singer and to, you know, this, and that's what I missed too when I was at home. And I think people, audience have changed since I've come back.
Yes.
You can tell they're like kind of childlike wonder that they're back in a room and you feel like hugging them because you're so happy to be back there. And like the whole thing, we were recently touring, we had done a week in the Pepper Canister when we did the Cave show, and then we did a week in London, that sold, and then we did 5 weeks opening the new Irish Arts Centre, this amazing kind of, like, I don't know, it was £71 million the thing cost. Like, I was, we were playing in the beautiful old venue watching this thing grow, and it was like, I remember going and I thought, I can't go back like it was before, but because I know everybody's gone through something, and the first thing, it's kind of like, for me, gigs are like you're saying hello to the audience, how are you, all the time. But now you're really going, but how are you? How you? And how have you been?
But they're thrilled to see you.
No, and it's a two-way, you know, thing. And it, and kind of before, when I was starting gigging, I used to, like, people say, Jesus, when you went out in the audience, you were dancing. I said, I what? Because when I'm in it, I kind of wake up in the middle of the night with a brilliant Irish kind of shock of, like, embarrassment going, I can't believe I did
but
that.
But I've witnessed you do that. I also witnessed you on stage acting, if you will. But that was great too, the case.
Yeah, I had said to you, and I embarrassed you before I came in, because I said I was a bit of a stalker. And you did, well, the one thing that kept me going was listening to things on radio. And your voice is so much part of my life, like,
thank
since
you.
I came to Dublin. But we were all rehearsing for Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, yes.
And this guy who we love so much, he had brought in a t-shirt, I love Marty and Whelan, and all of us went, I love him too, and it was brilliant. I think I sent some picture to you pointing, but it bound us together for when we used to have our coffee breaks.
I didn't realise I was such a
but that was amazing to do, and that happened just before lockdown.
Yes, it did.
So 3 months of being like the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, but you were out and you were busy. It was wonderful.
Yeah, right up to that point.
Oh.
And it was amazing. Now,
the great Owen Roe.
What I found hard was, and you're right, because I kind of suppose, you know, I used, when I perform sometimes, singing is like therapy to me. I kind of, you're living in my head, like sometimes when I'm singing certain songs, like, you know, the Tom Waits or the Cave or the Leonard Cohen, they're great stories. Some of them are all about ballads. And then you do things like In These Shoes, where you become like a different character. So it allows you to be emotional in all these different ways, to go to a sad place, to a happy place,
to
a
song.
Yeah,
live
to live
the
it.
Song.
And so sometimes I feel that happens more on stage for me than my own life.
Yeah,
and I'd be, I would never sing like at a friend's party. I'd be out the door scared. And especially in a country like ours where people sing at the drop of a hat.
I've always found it amazing that you always sing that to me. Rock and Roll Suicide, by the way, you've recorded Rock and Roll Suicide. Is this live?
This is live. And this was the Olympia. And this is one of my favourites.
Oh,
I loved him so much.
Yes.
And some people mentioned recently they love going back to watch that video. And it was around the first time, like, my mum had said to me, you sing all these old songs, but I remember you singing Moon Age Daydream and, you know, Bowie, and I'm such a fan of his stuff. So, it's half the time I'm just, when I feel to sing those songs and with the audience, be uninhibited and just go for it. Shivering's a snowing moon as you stumble across the road, and the day breaks, so instead you
I recently, the other day, I was going through stuff at home, because I just play all sorts, and I came across the last Bowie album, the one where he sings it, Where Are We?
Well, that's a song I've sung in gigs, and I've named it's a show, like the one we did in New York was Where Are We Now?
That's what I'm coming to.
And I found...
Isn't that, at that level, at that stage of his career, still incredible.
Unbelievable. I remember
David Bowie
hearing
case,
it. Yeah, I remember hearing that, and it stopped me in my... To me, it was like some kind of... him, and in a way maybe a farewell hymn.
Yeah.
And it well, he also had this t-shirt on it that it was a name of a play that his first Hermione, his first girlfriend, had been in this play. So there was this, of course, Bowie, yes, enigmatic as ever. You're reading into these messages.
And he talked about
messages.
Being in Berlin, didn't he, at the beginning of it? Bertolt Brecht is almost...
Yeah. And that, like, I was always a fan, but then when I was later realising, he did Alabama song, Kurt Vile, and yes, Amsterdam Brel, and it made sense.
That's right.
You know, and that world of theatricality. And he, like, I love this thing that you can become different things. And he always says we all have different aspects to ourselves, but we don't reveal it. Where his music, like, I was, like the rest of people, I remember being in Soho at the time he passed away, and I saw, like, a kind of a grown man, like, crying in front of me, and I knew it was over him. And I remember thinking, do you know what? I'm wearing too much black these days. I need to dress up again. Yeah. And because he brought something so magical to people.
But it's that theatricality.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you are.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of, and living, like I say, living the song, but also being in the moment, and then suddenly... chameleon-like, suddenly changing.
Yeah, and it all is you. Like, some people, like, so I remember in Germany, some guy says, there's 20 of you, and so all bonkers. And I said, well, not all bonkers, please.
17,
but, you know,
Dodge.
But I think it, that was kind of what I loved.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this lady called Agnes Brunel, who was an amazing lady who sang. She was originally from Berlin, and her father owned, Benauer owned all the old theatres there, and Marlene Dietrich would have been kind of around the house, and she came to live here. Tom Waits and Mark Almond are a big fan, and I got to see her in the Dial Club.
Oh, right.
And I remember, like, looking at her. I was like an architect student at the time, and she was drinking whiskey and having a cigarette, and I thought, this woman is absolutely up my street. Like, she's as, you know, I was scared to talk to her, but I said, look, I haven't trained and I'd love to be a singer. And she said, you don't need to train, you need to live the song, and you maybe be more an actress then. And so it really,
perfect,
it gave me confidence. You know, it took many years before.
Sure.
Like, I was still doing, I was the singing architect, still, you know, doing my gigs, and then, you know, singing at night. And then I had this car accident, and after that I kind of just said, you know what, go for it. And COVID, in many ways, not that it was the same thing, but I think for loads of people, you know, I had, like, she was a mentor, but it's amazing how many people started doing different things.
That's right.
And, you know, like, I'm trying to utilise that coming out of my shell.
Sure.
Because I had forgotten to laugh at the madness of life, to...
And also to embrace it again.
To embrace it, to be vulnerable, to sing the sad songs, but also to dance. And I suppose that's a bit like Brel. Dance, laugh, cry, sing until...
We're only,
have a drink too, I mean, for
on,
me.
Yeah, okay.
To get me up on stage.
But depending on your belief system, we're only here once.
Yes, and you know, that's what I've forgotten.
That great line, we may never pass this way again.
Well, you see, I'm terrible for that because I am... Like, my partner always says, you're such a worrier, you know, and I am nervous about things. And my little daughter, unfortunately, has that. She won't sing in front of people either. And I remember when I was little, my sister told me, she said, for a good 2 years, you had your eyes nearly closed because you thought people couldn't see you.
Yeah.
And we had to really beckon you out of that place.
Yeah, but when you're on, boy, are you on.
Well, I think you're like, I have a big respect for those songs. I feel very lucky to sing them. What's funny over the years, the songs, to keep them alive, I've got like a little video or something running in my head. So some sad songs are like passed off. And of course, my relationships got worse in my life. I got a better singer. I didn't realize that was going to happen.
Well, heartache, you know, is a great man.
They always, when it's going well, the sad songs, you know, don't have that same
kind of
edge. But definitely... like, say, for example, we did that gig in that tent last week, and there was like a range from like 8 to 100. I was saying, get some chairs out, it'll kill them if they were standing up, some of them. But there are certainly, you do look at people and you do get the, you know, it's a mad thing. You
connect.
Well, you do. It was hugging before, literally hugging them and sitting
but
on them.
But it's super connection now, because now we've... not had the connection. No,
and for Irish people,
yeah.
I mean, for us, like people in England couldn't understand. I said, "You don't understand." And then, then thinking we lost the gift of the gab for a while. It's come back now, but at the start it was
practicing at home. You didn't lose it, I tell you that.
Well, no. Well, I'm highly excited seeing you. I've only had my cat. My cat's like, get her out of the house.
Well, I'm delighted to see you too. Yeah. Can I just remind lads, it's the Three Olympia Theatre on the 26th of November. I'm putting that in the diary. I have to be there.
Oh, listen, no, seriously, we'll get you dancing up on stage.
Well, I don't know. I've turned down offers of dancing before. I'm not doing it now.
We're going to be, and the Kaleidoscope will be great fun. And before we do that, we'll be doing Edinburgh, if anybody's out. The usual.
Wonderful. When are you in Edinburgh? When is that?
1st of August to the 29th. So the show's called Dreaming. Yeah. And I suppose dreaming of everything, dreaming of what, all the exciting things.
How many nights will you do in Edinburgh?
We usually are 27 nights. Gosh. It would absolutely kill you. Yeah. Oh, at the start, when I start, like 2004 is when I first went. And it was bonkers, and I was doing that, plus I was doing a circus show called La Clique, La Soirée. It was the most normal thing in it, like I was living with sword swallowers. You wouldn't want to be, you know, not do your washing up when you're living with, like, I get on well with them, but you know, but basically it is it a marathon.
Is it you?
This is the first year, now we'll bring of course the rock band to the Olympia and the Kaleidoscope,
yes, of course.
But it's the first year we're just doing it, me and Fergal. I've always
this
done it with a band, yeah. But this year, because of what we went through, I thought, you know what? I'm going to just sit down. I might sit in with the audience.
And where is it? Do you know what the venue was called?
It's part of Usher Hall. It's part of the underbelly, which is, I always said I never wanted to be in anything because they always do things with cow in it, but it's the cow barn,
underbelly.
So I'm laughing. So basically, it's just exciting to be there. And one of the most beautiful, like that city,
I've never been.
Oh, it's so beautiful. You just love it. It's like an Escher painting or something carved out of stone. Or, you know, I always go for a little afternoon tea in the Balmoral.
And you're probably studying the architecture.
I am, yeah. But, you know, it is like, I suppose, you know, think Harry Potter, Ian Rankin. It's kind of like 100 years back. Like, I never realised how beautiful it was going to be. And I always used to take a week, before I had the little one, I'd always take a week that I'd hang out. But of course it's mental. And then if you have Irish people there, we'd have actors.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing, like the actors from the Abbey and stuff, were doing these shows at 9 in the morning and then they'd 11 at night. And they'd stay in our house and they'd be overnight and then they'd be, oh my God, my show is on at 9. And I always left it for the last week in Edinburgh, I'd hang out with anybody Irish because
otherwise you wouldn't be able to do
it. It was
show.
A bloodbath, and it was mad. I'd have to use every trick in the book to clean the wine off the surface.
So look, a reminder, lads. It's a Three Olympia Theatre, 26th of November.
You're so good.
And we're going to be there. You're a joy. Ship song to take.
Thank
us
you
out.
So much,
Camille. It is always a joy. Mwah. I must get one of those T-shirts myself.
I know. I'll find it for you. I'll wear it next time. Come sail your ships around me and burn your bridges down. We make a little history, baby, every time you come around. Your face is falling sad now. For you know the time is nigh, but I must remove your wings, and you must learn to fly. Come sail your ships around me and burn your bridges.
take a little history, baby. Every time you come around, come sail your ships around me.
Oh, she's wonderful. Camille O'Sullivan, and the gig is at the 3 Olympia Theatre on the 26th of November. She's terrific. Absolutely terrific. Mad about her.